If you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, we're going to pick up in verse 18, and we're going to go 18 through 26. And can I tell you this morning, I feel completely inadequate with this sermon. I guess I should, meaning, as a pastor, you should always feel inadequate. You're declaring the word of God, but specifically today, I feel really, I've really wrestled with this one. I really struggled. This series of gratitude, and we're dealing with Paul writing to the Philippians, and this is just one happy dude. And he's in prison. I mean, how many times can you preach about him being happy? So I really wrestled with it because I believe wholeheartedly that God wants to minister to us through Paul. How he is perceiving what's going on, how he's dealing with this situation of imprisonment. And here he is in another week sitting in jail. And I really just wrestled with it. And while you're getting to Philippians 1, I came across a story of a girl. Her name is LaDonna, and she was a part of the body caste system, B-A-D-I, body caste system. She lives in the Himalayas, or at the base of the Himalayas. And you see, this body caste system, or the body caste, is the lowest of all of the castes. Her family, in fact, it's so bad that people feel like if you were born into the body family, that you must have done something in a previous life, and it was just a horrible punishment to come back into this caste system as a member of the body tribe. Well, what's interesting is that the body tribe is the most trafficked group of people in the whole world. 80% of the young girls are sold as either slaves or prostitutes. Well, this young girl, LaDonna, was sold into slavery, and it was in slavery that she came across a missionary who was telling her about Jesus Christ. And you see, she, coming from what her religion and her background and her culture said was the absolute worst place you could come from, who you were, your family name, being mud and even worse than mud, her ears peaked when the missionary said, Christ wants to give you a new identity. And through several conversations, the missionary, he led her to Christ, and she accepted Jesus Christ. She trusted the Lord. And what was interesting is it was at one point, the missionary said that when the whole thing turned for her, as in he said, Christ wants to give you a new name. And her question back was, she said, you mean my name doesn't have to be LaDonna Body anymore? He said, no. Jesus Christ wants to invite you into his family. He wants to adopt you, give you a new identity, and he wants you to be LaDonna Christ. Well, she went on to tell several of her friends and several of the people she knew and several members of the body cast about this Jesus, and she became a powerful missionary herself and saw many people come to know the Lord. And when I read that story this morning or this week, I thought, this is it for us this morning. You see, her identity changed in Jesus Christ. When she all of a sudden saw life not through this body, family, or tribe, but all of a sudden she started seeing life through Jesus Christ, that changed everything for her. And when I came across that story, I thought, this is it. As we read these scriptures this morning, we need to look at our situation, our life, through the lens of Jesus Christ. Because see, that's what Paul is really doing here. So I'm going to challenge you as we read scripture. And you know what? There's nothing I can add to the scripture. We're going to read this scripture and just kind of break it down. But you know, only the word of God can change hearts. And the word says it's sharper than a two-edged sword, right? Dividing bone and marrow. We're going to let the word of God speak, but I want you to begin visioning your life through the gospel. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I'm here this morning, Lord. And Father, we're about to read your word. Father, I pray that you would speak. Father, I pray that you would allow us to hear. Father God, you would allow us to receive this morning. Father, I pray for every person in this room, Lord God, that they would see you, Jesus. Lord, we confess to be Christians, Lord, but I pray that when we hear your word this morning, that we would be empowered, we would be encouraged, Lord, that we would want to run out of here declaring Jesus Christ is risen. Father, that it would shape our lives. Father, it would shape our circumstances, Lord, that when we leave out of here, God, we wouldn't have just heard a sermon. We would hear the sermon that would change our life. Much the same way as that young girl heard from that missionary, it changed everything about her. Father, we give you permission this morning to change us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take a look at verse 18. Paul said, "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and through the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." Remember, Paul is in prison. He is chained to a Roman guard. And here, the first line he says is, "I will rejoice." So it's possible to have joy in your situation. We've talked about that week one. We've talked about that week two. But here he is again. He keeps saying it. It's because he really means it. And there's a couple things he mentions here that I think you and I can pull from. The first thing is that he knows God's going to deliver him. He, without a shadow of a doubt, whether this life or the next life, meaning this side of eternity or the next side of eternity, he is going to be delivered. But he says this, "I will rejoice because Jesus Christ is being proclaimed." Remember, we talked about people were preaching at his expense and then people were encouraged. But no matter what, people were going forward and preaching Jesus. Let me tell you, we need to start looking at things the way Paul's looking at things. And we need to start seeing, man, God, I know you've got me right where you've got me so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. But you know, sometimes it's hard, right? You mean, Lord, I got to get another round of chemo? Lord, you mean that my company's going to let me go? All of these things, they're hard, but what we need to do is position ourselves like Paul, say, "Lord, I may not understand all things, but I do know this, that Jesus Christ is going to be glorified." But what's interesting is he also mentions, he says this, "For I know that through your prayers and through the help of the Spirit of Jesus," he mentions the Philippians' prayers. Do you think Paul understood the power of prayer? I think so too. I think he knew that the Spirit of God was going to provide everything that he needed, but that provision came about by the Philippians praying. I was so encouraged this morning. Let me tell you, did you see all the people coming up for prayer? Church, we need to be a church that's about prayer. You see, Paul understood, hey, I've got a church in Philippi praying for me. I'm going to be delivered. The Spirit of God's going to be my provision. He's the one that's going to do it. But I know that at your prayers, he is moving because you're praying. When we find ourselves in a situation, we need to be praying. We need to ask people to pray for us. We need to get the word out that, hey, I need prayer. Would you pray for me? And we can have faith and trust knowing that as people are praying, God is listening and God is moving. You know, what if I put $1 million in your bank account? That would be awesome. But you know what? You cannot realize the value of the $1 million until you either get a debit card or a check out. Does that make sense? Let's just run with a check. That old school thing, you know, that paper thing that people used to write. You can't access it until you sign that check and you give it to somebody. You are putting your faith that the money that's in there will correspond to the request that you're making and the value will be transitioned from there to there. You know what? Prayer is the same way. See, you have all the blessings in your Heavenly Father and he even invites you into his presence. He wants you to pray. He wants you, come. Ask, seek, knock, and yet we don't because we don't think that God really hears. Well, let me tell you, you're the person with a $1 million bank account that's afraid to write a check. Paul understood the connection of prayer. Let me tell you, you have been invited to call down heaven on your circumstance. We need to be doing that because Paul, that's what he's acknowledging here, is that by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, through your prayers, I will be delivered. And this deliverance, it's interesting because it brrings back memory of Job 13, 15 through 16. It says this, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance. The same, Paul would have known the story of Job. And see, Job is a story of suffering that discusses God's relationship to suffering. Why would God allow this? And really, the story of Job invites us to trust God even when we don't fully understand. And Paul uses this same word, so we see that Paul's saying, look, I may not necessarily understand all the pain, but I do know this. Jesus Christ is going to be glorified and I will be delivered. That gives us a sense of hope this morning, that when you're walking through the valley, Jesus is going to be glorified through you. We can put our faith and trust in him and we can expect. In fact, that word expect, take a look at this, verse 20. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed. But that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. He doesn't just say expectation, and he doesn't just say hope, but he says expectation with hope. And I was trying to think of a good way, expectation with hope. You know, I remember as a young kid going to bed on Christmas Eve. I had full expectation that I was going to get to open up those gifts the next morning. And I had a hope that I would get everything that I asked for. But do you remember those times when you'd go to bed and you couldn't hardly sleep? Why? Because you had expectation with hope. And that's exactly what Paul's saying here is, I, in Jesus Christ, I have expectation and hope. He is so excited. He's not looking this way. He's looking this way. He knows that in Christ and in Christ alone, he has expectation and hope. You see, biblical hope is confident expectation. Listen to Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. But I love what he also says. He says, I can have this expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed. And I thought, that's a turn right there. Why does he use the word ashamed? You see, Paul has put it all on the line for Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was going this way to Damascus. He was ready to kill him some Christians. He was ready to persecute all of those that were found to be in the way. And here he was now going this way, chained up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had changed everything. He was a Pharisee's Pharisee, and now he's a Christian's Christian. You see, he gambled it all on Jesus. In my notes, he put it all on red, and I thought, well, that's a little cheesy. But he did. He did, and you have too, and I have. You see, if what we're believing in turns out to be nothing, then it is shame on us. Right? Meaning we're just as dead as everybody else. But we've invested a lot of time and energy in this thing. I left a career in banking to come and pursue this because guess what? I have a hope and an expectation that everything that I'm preaching is true. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, listen, I will not be ashamed, but Jesus will be glorified. He will be honored. God, look, Jesus will not make a mockery of Paul. Paul is sitting there in a grimy, nasty, dirty situation, chained to somebody, and he's saying, I have hope and expectation. I will not be ashamed. Jesus Christ is who he said he is. I put my faith and trust in him. He will be honored. Imagine, guys, if we start thinking of situations that we walk through and we start thinking like Paul's thinking, we start saying, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to put it all on red. Lord, I'm going to gamble on you that everything you said is going to come true. That changes our outlook. That changes everything. It's kind of like when you know next week you're going to go on a vacation, but you got to finish this week before you get to the vacation. It's funny because you see people at work that work like that, right? Ain't nothing phasing them now. In fact, their body's there, but their mind is already on vacation. It's funny, when you have a hope, when you have an expectation, ain't nothing gonna rattle you now because I'm already thinking about Cancun. Well, that's the thing. Even when we struggle, even when we're in difficult times, put your eyes on Jesus. He will pull you through. He's way better than an all-inclusive paid vacation to Cancun for 7 days. He is confident. But you know, this confidence, he says this, but that with full courage now, with full courage. Do you ever have doubts? Come on, it's just me and you right now. And the World Wide Web. Do you ever have doubts that Jesus really, that this Bible's true? Can I come into your living room right now? Can we get personal for just a second? We all struggle at some point that maybe, just maybe, this ain't gonna, it might not really be. It's almost too good to be true. Has anybody ever felt that way? All right, since none of you are honest, I'll tell you. I have felt that way at times. Because like Paul, I'm gambling everything. Not so much that the cross. I remember having a conversation with Jonah and tell him, hey, Jonah, what separates us from all other religions is not the cross. There were a lot of people that were crucified. Meaning what Jesus went through, that is horrific. It's excruciating. It was terrible. But what separates us is not the cross, but the empty tomb. So really it comes down to, did Jesus really raise from the dead? But see, Paul has a confidence and a courage that when you're sitting in your nasty situation and the doubt starts to creep in, see, it's in Paul that I begin to think on. In fact, all of the disciples, these guys, they at one point were going about their business. And then this guy, Jesus, interrupted everything. But not a one of them, all the disciples and Paul, they all went to their deaths for Jesus. That encourages me. Why? Because you don't die for a lie. You don't die for something, hey, Jesus, it was a good run, but I'm gonna go back because people are really serious right now. They're removing heads off of people. No, these guys knew that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that encourages me and that strengthens my faith because I know if they can believe it, I can believe it. Amen. Right? I know that if they were encouraged by the empty tomb, I can be encouraged by the empty tomb. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He has courage. He is confident. He has a hope and he has an expectation in Jesus Christ. And that changes the whole situation. We can have that same confidence, that same courage. But it's only in Jesus Christ. Take a look at verse 21. He says this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We need at least 10 weeks on this verse alone. But we'll cover it in 2 minutes. Living is Christ, to die is gain. You know what? I received everything when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. All of the things that I used to pursue in with my carnal desires, I wanted joy, I wanted hope, I wanted relationship, I wanted love, I wanted all of these things, I wanted material wealth, everything. But you know what? Jesus was the answer for all of it. To live is Christ. And then what I love here is to die is gain. When I draw my last breath, I am excited for what is on the other side. Do I fear death? Well, look, I don't want to die like a harsh death. I've prayed a couple times that I'd just die in my sleep. But no matter how I go, and death is undefeated, I'm going to step into eternity. And there, with a confident expectation, I am excited to hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. I am hoping. So whether I live, Jesus has fulfilled everything that I've ever wanted here. But when I die, it's going to far surpass anything else. I'm so excited for that. In fact, John Piper said this, Christ is glorified when he is more precious to you than all that life can give or death can take. He's describing these words from Paul. So really what John Piper is saying is it's a win-win. And that's what Paul is saying here is it's a win-win. To live is Christ. I'm going to tell more people about Jesus. To die, I gain that relationship with Jesus in its fullness that I've always wanted. It's like Cancun or Cabo. It's like a night out with your wife or staying in and cooking and watching Netflix. It's like Chick-fil-A on 336 or Chick-fil-A on 105. It's win-win. It's like donuts or kolaches, right? Like that's what Paul is really saying here is, guys, whether I live or whether I die, I win because I have Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3-6 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. That's to live is Christ. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our faith is dependent upon that empty tomb, but our life can be fulfilled knowing that that tomb was empty. To live is Christ. Verse 4 says this, to an inheritance, this is the death part, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. To live is Christ, to die is gain. You can rejoice, though now for a little while it might be necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So, Peter's even acknowledging what Paul is saying here is you may find yourself in a tough spot, but you've got a win-win situation for you. When we put our eyes on Jesus, to live is Christ, is to die is gain. You know what's funny? In the Greek, there is no is verb here. It's a really good, I could see people selling bracelets. It's just live Christ, die gain. So it's beyond is, almost just meaning like a state of, but he's saying to live Christ, like an action verb, to live Christ. You know, there's too many Christians that don't live Christ. We're all kind of hoping for the die gain part. We're all ready for that. I'm ready for that. Jesus told his disciples, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it wasn't so, I would have told you so. We're all excited about that. In fact, I would say that part of my journey began with a little bit of curiosity about the fire insurance. I wanted the win-win. I want the win, right? But what Paul understands here is there's a win on the front side of the win. What he means is to live Christ means that every moment he is so focused on Jesus Christ, he's going to bring as many people in the first part of the win into the second part of the win. To live Christ, die gain. What Paul's really saying is guys, I am going to tell as many people about Jesus Christ as I can. In fact, he goes on in verse 22 to kind of explain it to us. I love when the Bible explains the Bible. Take a look. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. You see, Paul had no doubt in his mind that this was God's plan for him. He just didn't know how long he was necessarily going to stay. But if he should continue, he was going to be focused on ministry. He was going to be focused on the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Paul. How many of us need to hear that this morning? Do you ever find yourself, you're working so hard in your life to position things, to get ready for retirement or whatever it is you're doing, and you realize, man, I've worked a lot of hours and effort on my kingdom. I don't know, this really spoke to me is how often do I put the kingdom of Chris above the kingdom of Christ? Because that's what Paul's really saying is he has a clarity of vision. He has a clarity of understanding that in his hurtful situation that he finds himself in, his purpose is to tell people about Jesus. This answers the why. God, why would you allow this to happen to me so that people would see Jesus glorified in you? God, why would you allow me to walk in this so that people would see the way Jesus walks? God, why would you allow me to experience this hurt? Or why would you allow my son to do that or my daughter to do that so they could see how a Christian handles this? Lord, I don't understand why my sister is this or my brother is that. So that people can see Jesus in you. See, Paul was focused on, as long as he was here on this earth, for fruitful ministry. You know, there's a person, we got a membership class. On our membership roles, and this is true of a lot of churches, there's a lot of people in church. Well, there's one guy named in church called Someone Else. He gets a lot of jobs around here. Right? When it's time to volunteer for anything, well, let someone else do it. When it's time to go serve at Under Armour, let somebody else do it. Well, let me tell you, someone else has a full calendar. But if we were to truly understand the win-win, if we're truly to understand that God is calling us to ministry now, to live Christ, not to live as Christ, to live Christ means to serve, to let people, we should be confused for Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know what's going on with Kanye West right now, but that dude is on fire. Some of y'all don't know, but this guy's music is not previous. He had lived a life where this music did not edify the body. It did not glorify God in any bit. But then Jesus happened to Kanye West. And you know, so many people ask, this Kanye, is he really true? You know, we've seen a lot of stars that they accept Jesus Christ, but then when you follow them on Twitter or Facebook or any of this, I'm not sure they're really Christians. Let me tell you, Kanye, it has flipped his whole life upside down. In fact, he's got a service today at 11 and at 7 in Houston today, and that place is going to be packed out. And you know how many people are going to come to know Jesus Christ today in Houston? I'm excited about it. But one of the things that I love most, when he was sharing his testimony about this, he released a new record, and it's 100% Christian. And it, let me tell you, people, he was here in Houston in a prison, and people are just getting saved around this guy. Is it him? No, but it's the power of Jesus Christ working through him. God can use anyone. But what I love is when he talked to his dad, and said, "Dad, what do you think?" You know, all of us boys, we like to get our dad's approval on things. And he asked his dad, and his dad said, "You look a lot like Jesus Christ to me." And I thought, that is the greatest compliment that anybody could ever give. That any one of us would look like Jesus Christ. Guys, when we're walking through this life, going through our tough times, going through our good times, people should confuse us for Jesus. That's what being a Christian really means. Followers of Christ. So much so that we look like Christ. Take a look at verse 25 and 26. You know, Paul was ready to leave. Paul was ready to depart if God called him home. And it's interesting to understand, why would he think this way? Well, first of all, going to heaven meant he's going to be with Jesus Christ. Going to heaven meant he's not going to suffer from sin or temptation any longer. The pain of this world is left behind. He was ready to go. But he understood two things. He understood the first is this, that other people still needed to know about Jesus Christ. And he also understood this, the work was not yet done. Take a look at 25. "Convinced of this," Paul says, "I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and the joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." He is positioned to give his life. Martyrdom, we see it here, but this is not the attitude that Paul's taking. Paul understands, hey guys, this isn't it for me. Because you still have time to grow. I can still encourage you in the faith. And let me tell you, the work is not yet done. The work is not yet done, and he knows he's going to come to see them. But what I love here is there's also this influence here that this church in Philippi, they haven't arrived. Paul says, hey, I need to disciple you more. You need to grow more. How many of us, when we accept Jesus, it's kind of like, okay, I'm here. And you know, the biggest problem in churches is we always talk like everybody knows what we're talking about. There are people here that have been walking with the Lord for 30 years. They probably know more of this than I ever could. They've probably forgotten more. And then there's some people that probably got accepted yesterday, accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and I'm using a bunch of Christianese terms, and they're completely lost right now. That's why we have to understand what Paul is saying here is the work is not yet done. We need to grow in our faith. And the very situation and circumstance that we're in may be the very thing that God's using to grow us. And I love these words that he says, so that you would have ample reason to glorify Jesus Christ. It's not about Paul. Everything he's doing is so that people can see Jesus Christ. We should take joy like Paul is doing. When we're going through tough times, knowing that God is working. And that God is, the work is not even done in me yet. That God is using this to refine the metal, to refine the gold so that I can be even more pure. God wants to develop me. He wants to build me up. He wants to coach me. He wants to train me. And as I do that, and as I focus my eyes and my attention on Jesus Christ, other people are watching. And I need to be about advancing the kingdom of God in everything so that they too could see Jesus Christ. So here's what I want to end on. Paul had gratitude as a prisoner. He was struggling, he was hungry, he was dirty, and yet he had gratitude. You too can have gratitude. We can be thankful. We can rejoice. The very first words in 18 is, yes, and I rejoice. You see, he set his eyes on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ influenced everything. If we suffer, we share in his sufferings. If we have great joy, it's because he's blessed us. You see, God is in control of all things. He has set his eyes on Jesus Christ. The second thing is we can have comfort, just like Paul, in expectation and hope. This isn't in vain. You're not just walking this Christian life out one day and you're just going to be worm food. No, there is a greater glory waiting for you. And that changes everything. And we can put our faith and hope, our trust in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, God is good. And whatever we go through, we just trust him that it's for our benefit. Thirdly, this. Rest in the win-win. To live is Christ, to die is gain. But that you've enjoyed now because you've accepted Jesus Christ, we need to share that. Others need to hear about this win. You know, we were playing a card game with Jonah yesterday, and that boy is the worst winner ever. When he wins, you know what he does? He runs around the house, gloating. And I wanted to trip him. But what if we, kind of like Jonah, excited that he won, and that's true. I mean, he doesn't win in anything, so I was excited he got a win. When kids are like 7 and you're trying to explain card games, you know, they're terrible. He's 10 now, and he's starting to get it. He's starting to be a little competitive, and I love it. This is like the first game. We need to probably put something on a wall. The day Jonah won. But what I loved about it, he was so excited he won, he ran. And he was like doing some dances and I was like, oh boy. You know, because when you're the loser, you're just like, ooh. But what if we, knowing that we have a win to live as Christ, if like Jonah, we began sharing this with other people. You see, Jonah won and it sent him into action. We are winners of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. What if it sent us into action and we start sharing with everybody our win on this side of eternity? We can't just be so focused on the win on that side of eternity. We need to be about Jesus right now to anybody and everybody. You know your position in places, in your job, in your neighborhood, in relationships where I can't ever go. The person next to you will never go and never meet some of the people that you know. You are the missionary that God sent in all of those things. We need to share about the win. The fourth thing is this. In our lives, we need to understand that God is working. Even in the hard times. We can have gratitude knowing, God, I know you're doing something. God, I know you're up to something. And know this, just like Paul did, that there's more work to do. You might be walking through what will eventually be your testimony. Maybe you struggled with infertility. And maybe how you handle it and how you find comfort and how you run to the cross every month knowing that, no, not this month, you're not going to have a baby. And when you, at the feet of Jesus, you just cry out. This may be the testimony that speaks to somebody else's. It might be the very thing that brings them to Christ. There is more work to do. We can have gratitude in everything we're going through. And lastly, this, no matter what it is, just like Paul, you have a reason to glorify God. We have a reason to glorify God. I saw on my brother-in-law's Facebook the other day, it said, Lord, thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for the shoes on my feet. Thank you for the meal I ate today. Lord, if I ever complain, let me always remember that I am so blessed. We have a reason to glorify God. No matter what situation, Jesus Christ is the answer. What we can pull from this morning is Paul was so focused on Jesus, nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered except for to get more people to Jesus. If I live, Jesus. If I die, Jesus. But you're in prison, Paul, Jesus. Some smelly guard is chained to you, Jesus. That guard was about to accept Jesus. He just didn't know it. We have a reason to glorify God in every situation. Paul gives us a great example how we focus on Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.